Welcome to The Pew, the place where everyday guys talk about everyday things in front of the one person who can do something about it, Jesus Christ. Now here's your host, just a guy in the pew, John Edwards.
Well, welcome back to The Pew, everybody. I'm your host, John Edwards, and here across the table from me, as always, is my co-host, cohort, and close and best friend,
Victor Adams. And as the word always, it's always a blessing to be here, John, and to talk about things that are an issue for us every day.
Yeah.
You know, and today might not be the topic that may pull you in, but it may be tomorrow or the day after.
Yeah,
that,
you never know. We don't. It's not our job to figure that out. It's our job to listen.
Right.
God,
we're not lectionary. We just we feel what we feel, and we see what we see, and whatever kind of moves us a topic to talk about.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. And then plus also, you know, you're also go to like adoration. You feel out kind of like what's going on.
Yeah, I'm asking Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do?
Right, and we're very open to the Holy Spirit to kind of like send us a topic of a conversation. And so that's why maybe our shows are pivotal to some people.
Yeah, there was a guy on a YouTube video the other day. It was after our show last week, and he was talking about, he said, man, it's like you guys are in my life. He goes, every one of these shows are like you're in whatever subject matter, whatever's going on in my life right now. And so that's a huge compliment,
right?
Because honestly, I mean, you and I have both talked a bunch of times on here about, like, man, the Lord says do this, and we're like, all right, we don't know if it's going to be right or if it's going to hit people, or sometimes if things seem repetitive, but the Lord says do this, we follow his will, and it seems like every single time we do.
Right. The best we can, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that say, man, this is really spot on for me today or whatever. So hopefully that'll be that way again today for all of us. I'm excited to get back in here with the topic. We'll get into that in a second. I just want to remind everybody that we are headed to Minnesota in a couple of weekends on May the 3rd and 4th. We'll be in Hutchinson, Minnesota. It's about an hour outside of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We'll be up there at St. Anastasia Catholic Community to do a Restored Parish Mission and group launch. We've been working with Father Paul Wolf and his team of guys up there to get ready. The mission is for men and women. So if you want to be with us, come and join us on May 3rd and 4th at St. Anastasia Catholic Community in Hutchinson, Minnesota. And as always, folks, if you're like looking to see where we're going, or if you want to, you know, hang out or meet us, or, you know, put a hand in a hand and a face with a face, then you can always go to our events and book me page and look there. And if you'll see the first three events that are the next three in line, but you can also click something that says see the whole calendar. Once you do, you can look all the way into 2025 at where we're going to go. So, you know, if we're coming to your area, and we would love to meet you. I'd love to just get to spend some time with you, and thank you for listening and supporting our work. So check that out on our events and book me page. We've got tons of places we're going. The schedule just continues to fill up by the grace of God and his blessings of this ministry and our work, which, Victor, I wanted to mention that too. You know, people are always asking me, you know, John, why should I give? Or I know you're a 501c3 or you're a nonprofit and you can receive donations, but tell me why I should give. You know, Victor, there's a lot of reasons, but I got an email the other day from a man who had been to the Columbus conference we went to with Stefanik and Father Burke Masters, and then we just got back from a leadership summit follow-up where now we're going to work with six or seven parishes that guys stood up and said, I want to start this in my parish. But this one guy in particular sent me an email, and he said, John, I just want to share this with you. My brother had not been to confession in 40 years. He'd been fighting it, didn't want to go, adamant he wasn't going to go, and we showed up to the big conference, the first one, and he said, and after your talk and your call to confession, he got up and he went to confession for the first time in 40 years, right? And he said, I'm writing you this email because I want you to know that God is working through your ministry. And also his wife wanted me to say thank you because she had been in tears many a night over the last 20 years hoping that this day would come for her husband. So not saying that to glorify myself, it's to glorify God. I mean, all I did was say yes and show up and go, and then he did the work through us. But that's what's happening in this ministry. Men are coming out of their shame. They're coming out of their brokenness. They're believing there's hope, and they're taking the steps to change their lives. And this ministry has been a catalyst for that for a lot of people, and we want to continue that, right? We have plans that the Lord is laying out in front of us that are becoming more and more adamant, and it takes support to do that. So if you're looking for a reason, that's a pretty good reason right there. That's one that is one of many. that we hear all the time about how this work is changing lives of men. It's giving them hope, and it's giving them their first steps to becoming the men that they're called to be. So if you're looking for a reason to give, there's one. We can give you a million more. Don't have time to do it today, but you know, you can shoot us an email and I'll share them with you. Mm-hmm. But if you do want to become a partner in the pew, a monthly partner in the pew, which is what we are in dire need of that support, then you can go to justagoutinthepew.com. Up in the right corner is the donate button. You can click that right there. You can go online and give. There's also the information about how you can give checks, all that stuff. But that's how you become a partner in the pew. And just remember, you're not just giving and then you're sitting back and doing nothing. You're now becoming a partner with us. And this is, you're becoming part of our support team, which is pushing us forward in this mission to bring people to Christ, to bring men back to their families, and to bring them back to the men that God created them to be. So you could take joy in that, that you're not only just giving, you're also now part of a team and a process of helping men all over the world and all over our country. So again, you can go to justagoutinthepew.com and hit the donate button. And then finally, if you're a guy out here that wants to start a group, just like these six or seven men I mentioned, or from six or seven parishes full of men that want to start groups, it's easy. They didn't think they could do it either, right? A lot of them said, man, I wasn't sure about this until I showed up and you laid this out, and now we want to work with you because I believe I can do this with your help and the support of my brothers that have stepped up and said they'll go with me. So guys, if you want to do that, if you want to start a group, go to justagoutinthepew.com. Right there on the homepage, there's buttons all down the page that say launch a group, start a group, find out more. Click one of those, fill out the form, and then we'll schedule a call with you. You'll get on the phone with me. We'll walk through everything, and we'll figure out how to best help your parish and then start the process of doing that and launching that amazing men's group in your parish. So, folks, again, justagoutinthepew.com is where you can go for everything. So check all that out. And, Victor, we're going to jump into the show because we've been taking a lot longer on the front end to talk about a lot of those things here lately, and I want to get into the meat of this so we can really just start sharing what the Lord wants. So, you know, Victor, it's funny you mentioned, you know, we never know what we're going to do. It was that way this week, you know, had a lot of things going on. Some things happened with the pilgrimage and stuff like that, the Italy trip, nothing major, but we had to make some changes there. And so that took a lot of my time. And then we had a lot of meetings with parishes and things. So I didn't have a lot of time to sit down and really just go, okay, Lord, show me what you want to do on this podcast. But it comes in funny ways. You know, I was sitting there one day, actually a couple days this week, I picked up this book that Dynamic Catholic put out. I have no idea how I have it. I don't remember getting it. Somebody must have given it to me, or maybe Angela picked it up. But it's called The Wisdom.
Maybe I gave it to you.
Yeah, you may have. Yeah, who knows?
I'm just joking.
But it's called The Wisdom of Fulton Sheen. Right. And it's put out by Dynamic Catholic, and it's basically 365-day, it's full of quotes of wisdom from Bishop Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. So I've read a lot of the days. I started reading it each day every year, you know, of this year, so I could just kind of hopefully find some nuggets or inspiration. And a couple days go by, and I'm like, yeah, that's good, but it's not speaking to me. Yeah, I get that, but it's not speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Last couple days did. He had some really great quotes I want to read here, and it's really the basis for the show. Today's show is really going to be on this topic of stop settling for less. Mm-hmm. You know, Victor, we can get so focused on this world and the here and now, and we're supposed to live in the present, right? Like the present moment is the only thing we can affect. We've talked about that before, but we're not supposed to live as if this is all there is, right? We live in the present moment because God is in the present moment, to where we can remember to be the people he's called us to be and to live in the way that he calls us to live, so that we can get ourselves, our families, and others to heaven to be with him forever, right? That's the purpose of the present moment, and it's the only thing we can affect. But a lot of times we live in the present as if this is all there's ever going to be. Mm-hmm. And not just people who are atheists or people who don't know Christ, Christians, right? I mean, I can do that in my own life, like get so concerned with the events of the here and now and what's going on in the moment that you lose sight of what's going on later in your life, or what's coming on in eternity, right? And we've all been there where, you know, we've made mistakes, or we've done something stupid, or we're embarrassed, or something happens, a loss of life or something, where you think like, how am I ever gonna get past this? And this is all my world is. And we forget that, like, no, Jesus came for so much more, to show us that the kingdom of God, yes, it's at hand, but there's another place. It's heaven. It's where all of our journeys are supposed to end. If we're going to wind up being the saints we want to be, then we got to live that life. But we get so distracted by the things of the world, and the devil's always out there trying to take our eyes off of the prize, as St. Paul talks about a lot. and to think about the here and now, and to get so absorbed in the things around us that we forget, and looking down that we forget to look up. And so these two quotes I want to read, they're both, the first one's a little long, so I'm going to read it slow and intentionally, but it was from August the 18th, which would have been now when this comes out, about 4 or 5 days ago. But this is what he said. He said, "We shrink, therefore, from God, knowing that he wants to enrich our being rather than our having," which is important right there. He wants to enrich our being rather than our having. "That he wishes to elevate our nature, not to submerge and to lose it in trifles. He has called us to the superior vocation of being his children, of partaking in his nature, and of being related to him as branches are to a vine. Few of us completely want that elevation. It is our petty desire to have more, not to share in the glory of being more. We want the poor shadows and not the light, the sparks and not the sun, the arc and not the circle." So that's the first thing he says there. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it really hit me like, man, this is so true. Like, he wants us to enrich our being of who we are and to take in all these blessings of life as experiences to learn to see him in everything and for it to elevate our consciousness, our mind, our souls, our where we are in our lives, and to remember that these blessings that I have aren't just some chance of coincidence or some luck I had in my life, but it's a goodness that's bestowed on us by a loving Father who uses those things to get us to look back up to what's important, so we remember not to stay in the gutter of this world, but to come out of that. And so he talks about he wants to enrich our being and not rather than our having. He wants to elevate our nature rather than allowing us to be submerged, to go the other direction, to be caught up in the gutters, right, and just the trivial things of life here. He says to lose it in the trifles. And then he says to have this superior vocation of being his children and what that calls us to, right? This higher calling of how we're supposed to live and partaking of his nature. So as Jesus talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches, you know, that's what the same call here is. Like, you've got to abide in me, right? Without me, your life becomes fruitless. It becomes cut off from the nourishment that it needs, and it can easily become all about this life, and then you can begin to fear that this is all there is, which is what a lot of people do. So then he goes on again to say, like, few of us want that elevation that God offers us, right? Few of us forget that, and we quit desiring it, and we settle for what's here and now. We settle for less, the theme of the show, and that we start to look at the shadows instead of the light, the sparks instead of the glory, or instead of the sun, and the arc instead of the circle. So what it's alluding to there is, like, we're only looking at a portion and not the whole picture. We're looking and fixating on this one pixel, but we're not looking at the entire picture that those thousands of pixels make up. And so in his infinite knowledge, I mean, Archbishop Fulton Sheen's such a gift to us. He's been to the show and to so many more in the world. I mean, the guy was the face of Catholicism for 40 years, right? But here he is again, giving us, through his wisdom, a topic that I think is what a lot of people struggle with, is this getting stuck in the here and now and forgetting that it's not, that this life isn't about this life. It's actually about the next.
Right. Well, what stuck out to me, a lot of stuff, there's a lot of meat there to look at, but it's the wording.
Start picking that bone, right, man.
The wording, superior vocation of being his children. Okay. That is our title, but yet not all of us receive that inheritance.
Sure.
Because we push away, or we're not focused on that title, you know, of being, we are his children. You know, that is a vocation to do what he asks us to do. But yet, it's not like a demand. It's more of like, it's something that we should inherently want to do. Because when we do those things, we please him. Because he loves us so much, by doing works of mercy, acts of charity, anything directly perfect love that we do in this world is an act of pleasing God, because he's like, you are my children.
Yeah.
You are receiving your vocation. And again, you know, we've talked about this many, many times, and for those that listen to it know this too, is that we were not created to amass wealth on this earth.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't created to have the most likes on our social page or the most friends in the world.
To build our kingdoms,
right,
instead
of his.
Right,
to be our own kingdom. Because eventually that just, as we see, how many statues of wealth of people who have just kind of like built stuff and some good for the community, yes. But I mean, like, but they did that because out of fear, because they realized how they amassed their wealth was pretty much, you know, a little shady, you know.
Yeah.
And so for us who are working hard to provide for our families and our children, you know, and we live in an honest life of doing so, and but also living a vocation, a superior vocation of being God's children, you know. That is a focus that is, we are receiving our calling. We are receiving His blessings. We are receiving the gifts of what He wants us to receive, and to not be focused on things that detract from that. Because I think that is the hardest thing for any of us when we're, a daily thing is to not be distracted by the issues at hand, you know, that will distract us. It always happens. Whether a coworker comes in and like, you know, blames you for something, or a boss comes in and now wants to change your numbers and you have to now get this goal rather than the previous goals. And as you know, we both kind of work in sales in some form. You know, I work in, you know, for behavioral health and trying to get enough people to come and be that connective tissue from someone who is struggling with drugs or alcohol or depression, anxiety, kind of let them know who we are, you know? And of course, for any facility, you have to have people, you know, come and get treatment or else we're no longer there, you know?
Sure.
And for you, you know, you're working for Napa, is that you had things where you had to go out and help people. You were helping people, you know, grow their business, but also you had to have high stress of saying, do this.
And I don't miss that,
Right, and so all of us have that work stress, but we're gonna talk about how to make sure that doesn't control our life.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's well, and I wanna clarify, you know, you said something about, you know, guys that might have gotten shady or something.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much of that as like we can live for the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And then our life, you know, we can kind of come to the end of our, you know, the end of our careers, and maybe, you know, wealthy folks that have realized I focus so much on work and all this stuff that I now realize I miss time with my kids, I miss time with my wife, so a lot of times that spurs on them building things and giving back to try to, you know, make up for the mistakes that you know, we all fall into when we get pursuing the wrong things. But yeah, I mean, and settling for less, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
Like, even in that, with those people you're talking about, yeah, we may have the biggest house and the cars and the comfort and everything that you could possibly have. You know, I saw a commercial with Steph Curry the other day, or an interview with him. He was walking in a room, and I guess they were giving him a jersey for Team USA, and they said, "We know you have everything, but you don't have this," you know. And it just hit me. I was like, "Yeah, he's got a ton of money, and he doesn't want for anything. He's never going to have to worry, unless he makes bad decisions, worry about food or how to provide for his children, or if he's got too small of a house or any of that stuff. He's going to be taken care of. But like, in the end, is all of that worth it if you haven't lived the life that you're called to live? Right? I mean, that's the thing. And so many of us, we pursue those things because we think that's what's going to make us happy. That's what's going to give us fulfillment. And a lot of times, I've seen it with a lot of men, they get to the end of their careers and they realize and they look back and they don't have a lot of memories with their family. They weren't there. They weren't present. The kids and I watched Liar Liar last night, the movie with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And he starts to realize that movie how terrible of a father he is and how much, chasing ambition and trying to make partner in a law firm.
Missed
and
so many, all so those many things out with his children. Yeah.
So a lot of ways we can settle for less. And the thing is, like, in this life, everything is so amazing. I mean, if you look when we were kids, you know, the fact that you've got a device that's not hooked to a wall with a 30-foot cord that can show TV and all these things, like, we would have been like, dude, you're lying. There'll never be anything like that.
We thought maybe the Jetsons.
Sure.
But we still thought flying cars would come before something like this.
But, I mean, you look at that and you think, like, man, this life is so amazing. How could there be anything better? And the crazy thing is, this life is not a smidget of what a life in heaven will be, right? What it will be for us. I mean, this is nothing compared to that. I mean, we basically live in a ghetto here. Not to call God's creation a ghetto, but it's like, it's going to be nothing compared to what eternity is going to be for us once we get there and we're restored to glory and all of those things. So, you know, a lot of times we can get caught up on this and we're focusing on everything we can get out of life now. And it's like, we think I better get all I can get now. You know, it's like this mindset that there's nothing else. And we continue to fall into it. And that's where this giant rat race happens, where we're trying to amass what we can amass and to gratify and satiate all our desires right now. Because I think honestly, Victor, in our hearts, some of the times we don't really know that we believe what we profess to believe, right? Like, and there's nothing wrong with saying this. Like, I don't want to call anybody out or make anybody feel bad, because I mean, sometimes I have these thoughts too.
It took me.
It's like, is this really real? You know, and people are probably going like, dude, how can you call yourself an evangelist and say that? But we're not without doubt, right? I mean, doubt is what makes us search for belief even more, right? It's what makes us go and look for answers in the scriptures and to take those doubts to God so that he can reaffirm in us the truth that there is more, that there are things there. It, you know, if we weren't curious, then we wouldn't continue to walk with God looking for answers. So there's nothing wrong in having some fears and of well, what if this is all there is? And that's, you know, a basic question for atheism. And people, they go, well, what if this is all there is and there isn't a God and those things? So it's not wrong to wonder and to doubt and to question and to ponder. But we have to take those things to God and trust in the relationship of what he said. But if we don't, then so many people, because of the fear that the devil can place in you, there's nothing more. This is all there is. Mm-hmm. Go and jump full head on into hedonism and enjoy your life in every way that you ever want to, because this is it. You're not getting any more than this. Well, that's a lie and a trap he lays, because he's hoping you believe that. You live contrary to the gospel. You live for yourself. And then he's got another resident in hell whenever the day comes for you to pass. So that's his desire in this, is to fill your soul with all that and your brain with all this nonsense. And the thing is, like, you can look at that and yes, again, you can question, well, is there really a heaven? Is there really a hell? How do we know? These are the basic questions of our beliefs, right? And we have to come to those answers on our own. We can't just sit here and go, well, I don't know, and I'm afraid, so therefore I'm just going to live like this is all there is and party like it's 1999 or whatever, and just forget that there's more, there's a call to more. And, you know, we can be so short-sighted in that we start to just, we kind of become these mummies or these people that are just walking around. Again, we've used this analogy before, but in that movie WALL-E or whatever, where the planet's destroyed and this little robot's just going around trying to see if there's any sorts of life, and meanwhile there's all these people in a spaceship that can't even walk anymore. They're on these things that are carrying them around because they're 500 pounds and they're just satiating their desires and just living in joy, thinking that's all there is. And they forget that no, there's something more to life than this, than eating and watching mindless shows and doing all those things. So we can become short-sighted. And I know so many people do this in our faith if we start to just settle for less. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you to hedge your bets on the here and now and forget that there's a greater reward out there that Christ talks about, that Paul talks about, that St. John talks about. And we'll get into some of that in a minute. But Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he continues to talk about this. This was the second quote. He says, as for the desire for the world and things... He says, excuse me, I'll start over. He says, as for the desire for the world and things increase in us, God makes less and less appeal. So, right, is this desire for the things of the world and just things that are in the world increase in us, that God makes less and less of an appeal to us, right? Like, he's less appealing to us. So after that, he says, we hold back, our fists closed about our few pennies, and thus lose the fortune he holds out to us. This is why the initial step of coming to God is so hard. We cling to our nursery toys, and we lose the pearl of great price. And this is what he's saying, like, we get so consumed with all these things, and we settle for less, as we're talking about here, that we start to look at the few things we have in our hand and go, I don't want to lose these, much like the rich young man and so many other things in the Gospels that we hear, that we choose to grasp onto that because we don't know that if we give that up, that the return of giving that up is going to be greater. Sure. And that's what we don't trust. It really reveals this lack of trust in Christ and the promises that he gives us in the scriptures and everything that he taught us here. Like, God, I want to believe in you. I want to love you. But I don't know that if I give up what I've already got, this lot in life that we mistakenly think that we've made for ourselves, we lose sight that it's actually blessings he's given us, again, to point us back towards him.
Right.
That we think, well, Lord, I've got these few things here, and I don't I don't know. If I give those in, am I going to get something better? It's almost like sitting at a blackjack table and saying, you know what? I've got a hot hand, and I'm thinking about pushing, you know, a couple thousand dollars in, but what if I get, what if I bust, right? Or what if the dealer has a better hand? Or what if somebody else picks a card that should have been mine, and I wind up losing all this? Mm-hmm. And we're not willing to push all of our chips to the middle of the table because we're afraid we're going to lose everything. And we forget that there's also a chance that we can gain everything. Now, I'm not telling people to go gamble. That's not what I'm saying here. But it's just a metaphor for the fear we can have about taking the risk of believing, right? Of really living this faith. And I, honestly, Victor, I think it's because we're afraid. Like, I mean, I think we're afraid, and we don't want to admit to ourselves and to others that we aren't fully sold on there being life after death. So we double down on the now in case that's all we get. And in doing that, we endanger not only our lives, but the lives of those around us, and we don't do the one thing that's needed in our faith more than anything, which is trust and a true belief in Christ and in his promises.
Yeah, when you quote again, going back to what he said, that clutching a few coins that we have in our palm, so what that means is that I'm not willing to give this up. I hear what you're saying, God. I've read the gospel. I partly understand how much you love us. But you got to understand, I got to have an insurance policy.
Yeah.
I got to make sure that there's evidence, I need evidence, or there's truth, I need to understand the truth better. You know, and like for me, you know, with some people know my story, you know, going through the seminary and then finally getting the point of decision where, going a different route because the Presbyterian Church for me was probably a turning point. You know, I said, I'm a little more Orthodox in where I stand and where this denomination's going. And so for a while I was kind of like not lost. I mean, I was still a Christian, identify myself, but I know how to identify myself because I always had this cloak of Presbyterian, you know, USA,
yeah, sure.
You know, raised, born, I mean, foundation of faith, loved the youth groups, loved the mission trips, loved
sure.
going to summer camp. I mean, enjoyed sharing my faith and talking with people. But now it's like, what is my identity now? I'm a Christian. But I have no affiliation.
Sure.
Know? And so for a lot of us, we're trying to find out, are we affiliated with God? Are we affiliated with Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Do I see him in the sacrament? Do I want to make time to be in adoration with him, thanking him for everything he has revealed to me? You know, when we clutch onto those coins that what we have for our own insurance, you know, we steal time away from where we should be with him. Like you were saying, a part of the quote too, I probably forgot about already, but it was saying, can you read the same quote again?
Yeah. It says, as for the desire for the world and things increase in us, God makes less and less appeal.
Yes, less appeal.
Yeah.
So he makes less appeal not because he wants to, because we tune him out.
Yeah.
We decide not to hear him because I'm blessed. You know, I'm getting this, I'm getting this.
Yeah.
You come in a great wealth, guess what? You don't pray as much.
Yeah, I don't need God.
I don't need God.
Put him back on the shelf until I need him
again. I may be thankful for the blessings, but I'm not going to be as in depth in my prayer or as seeking him as deeply because, hey, I got my blessing.
Yeah.
So I'm good now. And I think a lot of us have to be careful that when we are blessed indeed, you know, because we love him so much, we are faith, but yet when it comes to monetary things, you know, evaluation of our assets in life, we have to be very careful that if we have a great windfall or great thing, you know, at our work and everything and everything being successful, we can't like remove ourselves from that journey of faith.
Yeah.
And that is dangerous, you know, for many people.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, is just, it's, you know, faith is more than a word.
Yeah.
You know, it's more than a word. And these are the things that are tough. And yeah, they're scary and stuff. And people will say, well, what if I live my life that whole way and then there's nothing else? Well, then what have you lost?
Mm-hmm.
You lived a good life. You treated people the way that you should treat people. You loved well. If you followed the call of Christ, and if there was nothing, which we know that's not the case, what's wrong? That you would have a wonderful, beautiful life.
Yeah.
But what's the alternative? Right? I don't do it and I lose everything. Right? And that's the bet that I'm not willing to bet, right? Is I would rather live this difficult call that Christ has called me to live. It is difficult. It's hard to be a Christian. But it's so beautiful in that difficulty and in that struggle. And that's what faith is. Faith is never just a 100% certainty. There's always going to be this tug of war, right? And you're going to experience those things in times of struggle and in times of doubt. But it's a returning to the belief, right? Mm-hmm. To the belief. And, you know, faith is not just going to church on Sunday. You know, that's an act of, okay, I'm going to go and again, it's like, I'm going to put one chip on the table just in case, you know, a game mm-hmm. starts being played. But if not, then I don't really lose anything, right? That's what that is. But going to church is not all of it. Faith is more than that. It's a way of life, and belief is it's a belief that informs everything, right? That informs everything and encompasses our whole life. And that's what this is a call to, is when we're settling for less, then we're basically saying, I'm hedging my bets on my own, on this fear yeah. more than this trust. And it's a call that we've got to return to Christ in our lives each and every day. Because, man, I'm just telling you, like, I wouldn't want to live a life where I didn't think there was something else, where I didn't believe in the promises of Christ. And mm-hmm. these are the things that it says in the gospel about this. I mean, Christ, when we're selling for less, this is what he says in Mark 8:36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? So you're going to amass all this stuff, and you're going to push all your, I'm going to keep using this analogy, I guess, because the Holy Spirit's leading me to it. I didn't think I was going to use gambling, you know, references, but like, you're pushing all your chips into the middle of the table right now, and it may get you all this wonderful stuff here, but not one of those things is one iota, one millionth of the gift that waits for you in heaven if you live the life that I've called you to. So what good is it to have all this here and to give up your life? You know, I always have this fear in my face of the people that are going to stand before Jesus and think, well, none of this was true and none of it mattered, and they find out it is, and that deathly moment of fear of, oh my gosh, what have I done, mm-hmm. right? What have I given up? What have I condemned myself to? Because I simply didn't dare to believe. I simply couldn't look past the things of this world right. and the allure that they had for the here and now. It's crazy, man. I mean, because Jesus says that, and then he goes on in John 6:27. He says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, right? Which the Son of Man will give you. So not only the Eucharist is very self, but his words, this guide, this way of life to live, to be with the Father who loves us, right? That's why he came, to show us that God wasn't this domineering, angry God. He was a loving Father who wanted to reconcile with us, and so that we could be with him forever in heaven. Mm-hmm. Not so that we could sit here on what we think to be paradise, because there's some beautiful beaches and all those things, but sometimes we reach for that grain of sand and we get caught up in looking at that one grain of sand and we miss the whole beach. And that's what the danger is when we settle for less. He goes on to say through John the evangelist, John the beloved, in 1 John 2:15-17, those first and seconds always mess you up, because you forget you got to say one of those first. 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. It's again illustrating this choice. You can either spend your effort and your time and your desires and love the things of this world and build a life that's going to eventually turn to dust here, because as it says in Genesis, from dust you came and from dust you shall return. Mm-hmm. Another consequence of the fall, right? This life is going to end here. What comes next? Either you believe there's something or you believe there's nothing. And if you believe there's nothing and there's something, then this is what he's saying. You will lose your life, but those who dare to believe will live forever. So it goes on in, you know, St. Paul through Colossians 3:1-2. He says, so if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I mean, these are all things that point us to it. And finally, he goes in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Right? I press on through these things. I refuse to let my eyes be veiled. I refuse to be enamored by these things like the sirens of the stories of old, of right, the Greek gods and stuff, where you would hear these alluring voices and these things would look beautiful from a distance, and the sailors would wind up running ashore and wrecking their ships because they were so allured, and they they gave into the siren song and that temptation and that hypnosis that happened there, right? But then they wound up running aground and wrecking everything, because when they got closer, they saw they weren't beautiful mermaids. They were demons. They were sea monsters. They were these wretched creatures that were meant to seek and destroy them and devour them. And that's really what the world, the flesh, and the devil is for us. And you may be sitting here thinking, man, come on, you guys are getting a little of this fire and brimstone stuff, but it's the truth. And that's why God is loving, because he sends his son to tell us that, to share with us that there are consequences mm-hmm. for the way that we live our life.
Right.
And many of us don't want to believe that, because we want to believe that Jesus is this happy-go-lucky buddy that's waiting up there with a ticket for everybody, going, all right, next, mm-hmm. next. Come on, I know I saw that bad thing, Tommy, but I love you too much. Next. And that's not what he preaches.
Right.
He tells us there's going to be consequences, and he's begging us not to settle for less, to remember to keep our eyes on the prize, and to remember that life, this life is a gift, not for the here and now just to throw away, but to use this time that we have here to love and to live in the way that he's called us to, so that we can live with him forever. That's his desire, and as a Christian, that should be our ultimate desire, more than for our wives, our children, and for anything else in this world, is to be with God forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the call. And for those of us out there that are struggling with this, I mean, nobody's asked you to go from 0 to 100. It's just starting to dare to believe, to open up your Bible, to start to get in there and read these things that we often put in these shows that are not just something cool to talk about, but point you back to a place that the Lord may want you to go deeper with him, to start to trust and believe in him, and to see that he is worthy of your trust and of your love, right? I mean, who in the world would have gone to a grisly death like on the crucifix like he did and not mean what he said? That's the thing that I never can get past, Victor, is like, okay, when those doubts come, why in the world would he go to such a gruesome death and leave the throne of heaven to come down here and to suffer and to live like one of us if what he said wasn't true? And ultimately, that's the kind of place we all have to come to, is looking at that. Why did he let people walk away when he talked about the Eucharist?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he yell and scream at the Pharisees and call them names and point out their hypocrisy? All so that he gave us a roadmap to the one thing that matters most, and that's eternal life with him. So what do we have to do, Victor? We have to start looking at our faith as something more than going to church. We have to look at our faith as something that matters everything, not something, but everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have to build the resolve in our life through prayer and through reading the scripture and through becoming daily communicants and all those things, taking in the word and the Lord and physically and in his word as much as we can, so that we're starting to build up this belief, right, and to fight against the allure of the world that tries so hard to pull us away from them. Because again, Victor, as we've said a million times, it's not just about us. It's about our wives, our children, those around us. You know, it doesn't take much for the culture to get in there and to rip them away. So we've got to be that standing guard, that shield there to block them from the flaming arrows of the evil one of the world, so that they have a chance to continue to walk in this and to grow in their knowledge and relationship with the Lord, so they can fall in love with him and fall in love with the faith. And faith becomes not just an idea, but a belief mm-hmm. that encompasses all of our life. But gentlemen, I mean, we all have to take these steps on our own. I mean, we can give you a roadmap, but at the end of the day, you have to start going, I'm tired of questioning these things and I want answers. And you have to start going and looking for those things in the places that we've mentioned here. But at the end of the day, Victor, I mean, the message I want to leave everybody here with is stop settling for less, because Jesus has told us again and again and again that there is something far greater than you could ever imagine that waits for each and every one of us, sitting at the feet of the Father and worshiping him through all eternity and being restored to that original glory we had before the fall, right, when God would show up and walk in the cool of the day with his friends. Those things are what wait for us in this eternity and in the prize of heaven. That's why St. Paul was beaten and rolled down hills and shipwrecked and snake bit and beheaded and all of those things, because he believed in all of this. And through his letters, he emphatically yearns for us all to dare to believe the way that he did. You know, yeah, he had that you know, amazing conversion moment that not all of us have, but Christ can find his way into all of our hearts if we're just open to it. And this is the thing, man. We either live for now and we hedge our bets on, okay, this is all there's going to be and hope that that's all there is, or we can live for more, right? We can dare to believe, like that William Wallace moment, man, in Braveheart, when he's telling those, yeah, you can run home and you can go back to your lives and act like nothing's wrong and that you're okay living like in bondage and in slavery to tyranny. Or you could take this chance, this one chance, to fight here, and maybe you die. Mm-hmm. But if you, for those who you live, you, do you want to look back on this day and think, I had a choice, I had an option, and I chose in fear to just stick with what I had instead of dare to believe there could be more? You know, I slaughtered, you know, that with William Wallace, but I love that when he says, in dying in your beds many years from now, would you not die for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and to tell the English they could take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, the call, the heroic call that our hearts are looking for every day, is to look the world, the flesh, and the devil in the face and say, no, this is smoke and mirrors. This is junk, right, compared to what lies for me if I could simply hold on to my faith, believe a little longer, mm-hmm. give more of myself to the Lord, and then go and meet him in that eternal reward. Right, so that's the call for all of us. So mm-hmm. for those of you out there struggling with this, get in the Word, man. Get to Mass every day. Start praying. Get in a men's group. Do things that surround yourself with things that are going to lead you towards the truth of the gospel and the truth of Christ and away from the allure of the world. That's what this show's about. That's what this ministry is all about. This is what this podcast does for me, and I know it does for you too, Victor, is calls us back to the things that are important, and it's certainly not settling for less. So we're going to take this to prayer right now for all those listening and for ourselves and for those that will hear this or see this on YouTube or whatever else, that we can stop settling for less and look towards the future, eternity, the eternal prize that Paul talks about and the great reward that Jesus invites us to each and every day. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, many of us spend our lives living as if this world is all there is for us. The devil does his best to distract us so that we will take our eyes off that eternal reward and prize. Help us to see through all the smoke and mirrors of this world so that we could focus on the next with you. And Father, whenever we find ourselves settling for less and fearing that this is all there is, remind us that the true reward is eternal life and belief in you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks for listening to Just a Guy in the Pew. To find out more about John Edwards or have him come to speak to your parish, group, or conference, go to justaguyinthepew.com or send us an email at justaguyinthepew@gmail.com.